Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Thank you. Your name forever, Lord. Luke 17, verse 20. Would you stand in honor of God's word? Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it." Father, this is your word, Lord. It is the only thing that we want to hear this morning. Father, would you expound it in our hearts? Would you bring it there? Father, would our hearts be soft to receive it? Would our eyes and ears be open, Lord? Father, would you be with every other church that's preaching the name of Jesus Christ in our community and beyond? Would you take them deeper and wider than they have ever been? Would you give them favor in their community? Would you send them out with us into the darkness and give us opportunities to share the good news, to share the gospel? For we know the gospel is the power to transform lives, Lord. Father, give us the opportunity to share that, to share our testimonies, Lord. Father, we love you. And we give you all honor and praise. Here is your service. Here is the time that we devote to hear directly from you. May it never stop that attitude that we want to hear from you, Father. Lord, we love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Verses 20 and 21, we learned the Pharisees, one of the groups of religious leaders, has asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come. They're looking for the Messiah. We've talked about this many times, a savior that would come and lead their nation to freedom, right? What they didn't understand was that the kingdom of God was already there. It had already come with Jesus. He brought it, but it wasn't fully realized, so they couldn't see it. They were looking for something physical, something they could see and they touch. But the glory of God was testifying to it through signs and wonders that Jesus did. Lepers had just been cleansed. The blind had received their sight. The lame walked. Demons had been cast out. People had been healed and set free. The kingdom of God was there. It was visible if they would have just had eyes to see it, but they didn't. Then Jesus looks ahead. Verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them, for the Son of Man in his day will be like lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." The world will long for Jesus' return. We long for Jesus' return. We want things to be set right. We see corruption. We see what's going on, right? We see how people are taken advantage of. We see the greed. We see the enemy. We long for him to return. And in that longing, we have to be careful, though, because some will come and pretend to be him, right? It says some will claim to be him. But we will be able to easily recognize this, right? Because at his coming, the sky will be set on fire, right? From one end to the other. No one will be sitting there wondering, did he come in that moment? Was that him, right? Well, did the sky split open? Matthew 24, 29 quotes Isaiah, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. There will be no doubt when he comes again. Well, when is that day coming? If you've been alive as long as I have, you've been hearing for a long time that he is coming any day now, right? The Bible tells us, though, that nobody will know when that is except for God himself. All we know is that that day is going to be like any other day. Verse 26, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. The time when Jesus will come will compare to those times before the flood, to those times that surrounded Sodom, right? People just going about their business as normal. The time will be unexpected. Sometimes it feels like that time is short. The older I get, I feel that more and more. But I wonder if that's just God giving us a sense of urgency because the harvest is ripe, the fields are ripe, right? And we have a job to do. Is that just an urgency to do that, to become involved in that? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I don't know. What I do know is that we should live like he is coming back today, coming back tomorrow, but prepare for it like it's not going to happen anytime soon. We can do both simultaneously. We should be ready now, but we should also be making future plans to continue the work of Christ, to continue to build the kingdom of God. We can do both. Verse 30, it will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Interesting thing for Jesus to say there, right? Remember Lot's wife. Second shortest verse in the Bible, just in case it shows up in a Bible trivia sometime. We had the shortest, right? Jesus wept. This is the second shortest verse in the Bible. It's interesting because I can't think of another time in Scripture where Jesus said to remember somebody like this besides himself. 170 women mentioned in the Bible. And this is the only one that Jesus specifically calls us to remember. Remember Lot's wife. Seems random, but in an eschatological discourse, right, in a talk about end times, Jesus calls us to remember her, so it must be important. If we go back to Genesis 12, we see God call Abraham to leave his home and his land and head to the land that he would show him, right? He didn't say where to go. He just said, leave and go to the place that I'll show you. Abraham leaves, and Lot goes with him, Lot and his family. In Genesis 13, Abraham and Lot have to separate because their flocks had become so large. The Bible says that the land couldn't support them, so they separate. Genesis 13, 12 says this, Abram, who would be Abraham, lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. We know from the next couple of verses, the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly, right, against the Lord. By chapter 18, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah had become so great that God determined to wipe them out. Abraham tries to bargain for their lives. You remember that? And God told him if there were 10 righteous people, he wouldn't do this. But there weren't 10 righteous people in this entire city. Genesis 19, two angels go there to rescue and bring Lot out and his family. Genesis 19, 16 says this, when he, Lot, hesitated, the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. The angels then gave him this instruction. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. And we see God destroy those cities, destroy that wickedness. And then we read in verse 26, but Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. That's it. That's the woman that Jesus said to remember. Half of us were probably wondering if that was even a real story, right? But Jesus tells us to remember her. We don't even have her name, do we? Just Lot's wife. What we see is a woman who was torn between the place that God was taking her and the place that she was leaving. And she looked back and she put that above. She put her past in front of her future. She lost sight of the provisions of God, the purpose and the plan that God had for her ahead. She looked back. Today, the provisions of God are ahead of each and every one of us. The promise of God is ahead. But sometimes we get stuck looking back instead of fixing our eyes on Him who calls us. When we do that, we miss out on what He has for us. Today, we need to remember Lot's wife. Today, we need to be reminded to quit looking back because you can get stuck there in an instant, right? And it will prevent you from following God and staying in His will and finding out what He has for you. The church often looks back and tries to return. Right, I've told this story to many people. I remember a time when we had 100 kids on Wednesday night. 100 kids. Daniel and I taught second graders, and we had 20 kids in that class alone, right in that kitchen, and it was crazy. It was awesome. We'd love to return back to those days, to those times, and have God's favor like that. We've tried to, but all we've done is failed. It doesn't work when we try to go back to the past. We have to follow where He is leading us. We can't get stuck back there. When COVID was happening, I think we all looked back, didn't we? We all longed to get back to life as normal. But God brought about different paths for us, different opportunities, online opportunities, where we reach hundreds and thousands of people now, where we wouldn't have done that before. Today, we must stop looking back. Stop allowing ourselves to get stuck. It's easy to do. Those of you who have lost a loved one, right? It's easy to look back at those times and get stuck because you long to return to them because they were amazing for you. That was your loved one. That was your soulmate. That was your mom. That was your dad, right? But what happens if we spend all of our time looking back in those moments? We end up missing out on where God is leading us, what God has for us. Some of you have faced traumatic experiences in your past, and you can constantly look back at those times and get stuck there as well. Unforgiveness is a huge one. We've all seen that. We've all been tempted by that to go back to that, right? There are people who go back and look at that event and hang on to it, and they refuse to let go. They can't let it go. And it prevents them from experiencing what God has for them. It prevents them from living in God's purposes. It's easy to get stuck and miss out on the freedom that He has for us. Remember Lot's wife. We are called by God. Each and every one of us. And in order to move into that place that he has for us, we're going to have to leave at times someone behind. Am I saying that you have to forget about somebody, not think about them? Absolutely not, right? Of course not. We should think back on those people with joy and love. What I'm saying is that you can't fixate so much on that past that you refuse to move where God wants you to move. Remember with joy. Look forward to the days ahead. Just don't get stuck, right? It's not always someone. Sometimes it isn't a person. We can fixate on things. The rich young ruler looked to his wealth, right? He couldn't move into what God had for him because he couldn't let go of that. I've been there with things that I didn't want to let go of, right? God telling me to move, but I'm stuck looking back at what I'm going to have to leave behind, what I'm going to have to let go of. And I don't want to do that. I want to stay with that. Sometimes God is trying to move us from destructive things, things that the enemy just wants us to stay stuck in. And for some reason, sometimes we just hang on to those things or try to hold on to them. We need to hear this, my friends. Remember Lot's wife. All the promises of God are in Christ, and his promises are ahead of us. He brought us here, but he's continuing to move us forward. Don't get stuck here. Don't get stuck looking back. I struggled to write this because I am not in any way trying to minimize your pain, the trauma, the loss, the grief, the suffering of your past. But if you are going to do what God calls you to do, if you are going to do what God has put you on this earth to do, we must keep moving forward. We can't get stuck. I've had some things happen in my life. I've been sucker punched and had every ounce of air knocked out of my lungs. I know what that's like. But I refuse to look back. I refuse to get stuck in those moments. I've been set freed by Jesus Christ. I know the freedom that comes from truly forgiving someone, and I can look back at that person and have nothing but good thoughts for them, nothing but good prayers for them, nothing but I want them to be set free themselves and live with Christ for eternity, right? I'm free because Jesus sets captives free. That's what he does. I care about you, and at times I see people get stuck. Stuck in discouragement, stuck in offense, stuck in bitterness, stuck in unforgiveness, stuck and fixated on what went wrong, fixated on what has been lost, fixated on who's betrayed them, fixated on who's disappointed them, fixated on who's hurt them, fixated on what happened, fixated on what God didn't do. And people are missing out on what God has for them. They've been calcified. They've been solidified, stuck looking back. And I just want you to be set free from those things. Lot's wife got taken out from going with God. The rich young ruler got taken out from being a disciple of Christ because they kept looking back. They weren't willing to let go of some things. They missed it. They missed out on their purposes. We all understand why she looked back, right? Her life was back there. She had friends and other family back there. She had moved away from her family and settled down in this new area, and she got new friends and new family, right? She might have had her forever home there. And then all of a sudden, one day, two guys show up and say, leave. Leave it all behind. Could you imagine that happening to you? Could you imagine angels coming to you right now and say, hey, you're going to have to leave everything and go to this new city? How would you react to that? Wait, what? We are all going to experience moments where everything blows up. Amen. Amen. Everything comes crashing down. But what we need to realize is that just like Lot's wife, we have a choice where we look. A choice in what we fixate on. We can fixate on the destruction. We can fixate on the storm, or we can fixate on the one who shows us mercy and has the power to save us. The one that promises never to leave us.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. Yes. If you're stuck today, stuck looking back, my friends, Jesus has come and said, follow me. He's offering you his hand. You're going to look back at what you're going to have to let go of. You're going to want to keep a hold of that, right? Whatever that thing is, but let go and let him take you to freedom. Let him take you to forgiveness. Let him take you to healing. He's got good things for you. Grab it and don't let go of it, because if you let go, you will get stuck. Hold on to it. Sometimes we take his hand for a season, but sometimes we let go. I don't know if you've ever been swimming in the ocean, but if you have, you know you have to constantly look for landmarks on that beach, points that you can keep looking at, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself drifting, right, before you know it. The undertow is going to carry you out. You can just be treading water. You can be not swimming away, but be dragged away, not even realizing it. Then all of a sudden you look up, and you don't recognize anything along that beach, right? That's us when we let go of his hand. You have to keep your eyes fixed on him. I'll take that. You have to keep your eyes fixed on him so that you can follow him. Otherwise, you'll drift away. Like I said, you don't have to move away. You can just drift. You just have to quit swimming. Take your eyes off him. Today, is that where you're at? That's easy to do. Get too busy. Get too focused on other things, on something else, and before you know it, you're like, how in the world did I get here? Where in the world am I? Everything's different. Everything's blown up. Everything is crumbling. Hear the word of the Lord, Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Do you have some of that? And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fix your eyes upon him, right? The pioneer, the one who started, the perfecter of your faith. Throw off everything that hinders you. What do you got on? What are you hanging on to? What are you allowing in your life that drags you away? Throw it off. Get rid of it. What happens when we grow weary and lose heart? Because those days will come. Those days are coming. Maybe you're already experiencing that. What do? Consider him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. He went through it all. Consider him who endured the cross, who scorned its shame for the joy set before him. What joy? The joy of you being reconciled to him. The joy of you becoming a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. That joy is the reason that he endured the cross. In a moment, we're going to take communion and share in that. We're going to remember him. We're going to consider him. We're going to look to him, right? Are you weary today? Have you just lost heart? That happens. That happens. That is a season that we can find ourselves in, right? Consider him. Remember him. There are some heavy things going on in this church right now. Sometimes it's easy to say, you know what? I didn't sign up for it. Can I ask you an honest question? What did you sign up for? Sometimes I have to be reminded of that. I signed up and pledged to pick up my cross and follow him daily. I signed up to deny myself and follow him no matter what it cost. That's what I signed up for. I did that because knowing him was worth it. I did that because he died for me when I was his enemy. Not like I was his friend when he did that. I was his enemy, and he still went ahead with that. I didn't die for him. I signed up for that because his mercies are new every morning. So somebody reminded me yesterday. Don't look back. Don't get stuck. Don't go back. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the one who endured the cross for you and me. Amen? Baptism. I like to remind you, baptism is the wedding ring. Baptism is what we declare to the world that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. He is ours. We are his, right? And we determine to live for him with this new life that he's given us. Baptism is that symbol. Communion is a renewing of vows. Baptism, like a marriage, when we're married to him. Communion is a renewing of a vows and a time to check our hearts and to make sure that we haven't been doing things that we shouldn't, to make sure that we get right with Christ. We remember what he did. We remember the price that he paid for us, right? And we align that, use that time as we're talking to do just that. Prepare your hearts for it. Renew your vows to him. Amen. I want to read this passage, Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. It says, "Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces, notice this, downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. Verse 28. As they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he had disappeared from their sight. Two guys among the followers of Jesus Christ. They had their idea of what Jesus was going to do, where he was headed, the kind of kingdom that he was bringing in, right? Israel would be restored and led by this powerful prophet, Jesus. But then he was crucified and killed. And their idea died. Their dream died. The reason for following him died. What did they do? As soon as they could, they left Jerusalem and started heading back to their old life. They thought it was over. They didn't sign up for this. They didn't get what was happening. They didn't know what had already happened, the victory that had already been won, right? And what this all that meant. They didn't understand that yet. This is the place where some of you are at. The place where some of you will come to, and the temptation will be to go back, to look back, to get stuck back there. Can I remind you today that no matter what is going on, we serve a risen Christ, and that changes everything. Can I remind you that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is with you on this journey, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life, a far better one than the one back there, a far better one than the one that you are striving to hold on to, that one that you won't leave. Far better. You may not get things now. It may seem like everything has failed, right? Everything's blown up, like there is no hope, like everything exploded. But now is not the time to let go of his hand. Now is the time to grip it all the more. Now is the time to make him the anchor of your soul. Now is your time to fixate your eyes upon him. Now is the time to trust his plan and his purpose and continue to move with him. He's taking you forward. He's taking you someplace you've never been before. He's taking you further into freedom, further into grace. He's taking you to the purpose and plan that he has for you. Don't get stuck. Don't look back. Don't become fixated on that. Fixate your eyes on him. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Let this be your verse right in the season. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to take in hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's called you. He's called you forward. He's called you heavenward. Press on. Quit looking back, right? Strain towards what is ahead. I promise you there is a prize greater. than anything that you let go of. I promise you. Today, we remember Christ and what he did for us. We remember the price that was paid for us on that cross. Would you give him all honor and praise for that? Today we remember the new covenant, the chance to become children of God, the chance to become righteous, not because of anything we did, but because of what he did for us. It is by his righteousness that we can be saved through faith. If you made that decision, if you placed your faith and trust in him, then drink this in remembrance of him. Would you stand with me? Have you grown weary? Are you tired of the brokenness? Are you tired of the disappointment? Are you hurt by what people have done? Consider him who has gone through everything that you have. And yet he forgave everyone who did that to him. Let go. Let go of it. Let go of the things that are hindering you, that are slowing you down, that are holding you back, right? I'm not saying forget about those people in your past. Don't get fixated so much that you can't move forward, though. Remember the days ahead. Remember when you'll see them again. And go towards that. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy. We thank you for dying for us when we didn't deserve it. Father, we thank you for that grace that's been extended to us. May we, in turn, extend it to other people. Father, would you set people free today by the power of your word, by the power of your gospel? Would you remove barriers, Lord? Would you remove princes and principalities, spirits, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ? Would you free people from bondage? Father, would you set them free in your name? May we live for you. May we live a life of worship. May we be living sacrifices to you and what you have for us. Father, we love you and give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen.